Ladies and gentlemen, Soul Train is brought to you by Posner, makers of Afro Sheen and Afro Sheen Cosmetics. Just kidding! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to another exciting episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, brought to you from the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Emporium in picturesque Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing it. Okay. So, having said that, hi, I'm Stephen SVP Van Patten. Joining me, all, as always, are
Mark Abbott
and
Kirk Jensen.
Yes, the two MVPs to join the SVP. The only ball-headed motherfuckers I let in my house.
There you go.
Yeah. So, welcome back.
Yes.
Another episode. I guess first thing we ought to do is knock out the bad news.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things. Toby Hooper.
Yeah.
The trailblazer that brought us Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. 74.
Wow. Yeah.
Good life. He's not the 90s or anything, but, he
put some good stuff out there.
And he put some good...
Mm. What else was he? What
one questionable thing, I think. Gin that he just released like a couple of years ago, that didn't exactly...
Get great reviews. Which King or Witch Lord?
Yeah, it was like...
Not the Wishmaster.
Not the Wishmaster, okay.
No, the Gin.
The Gin.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's on Netflix.
He did a movie called Eaten Alive. About this crazed hotel owner in the bayou.
Right.
White guy be in the bayou.
It's always in the bayou.
I like their cooking. Fuck that.
Funhouse, which was
I forgot about Funhouse. That
crazed
house.
Family
that
owned the Funhouse.
Wow.
And then he did a I guess it would be considered a reboot of... He did a reboot of the Toolbox Murders.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, how could we forget Poltergeist?
Poltergeist. So, that was him, yeah.
That is.
And if I'm not mistaken, he lived longer than most of his cast.
With the exception of
Craig T. Nelson,
I believe, is still around.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that Joe Beth Williams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think she's still around.
Wow.
But the kids the kids are pretty much gone, I believe.
Yeah, I think they just...
Ugh.
That was a terrible thing.
And is the lady...
Death Note shit.
Oh, no. She died a few years ago.
Okay.
No, the little lady?
The medium. Yeah, the psychic.
Midget?
Yes.
Yeah, I was mm-hmm. exactly trying to avoid saying midget, so thank you, Kurt.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime for you, bro.
Yeah, my man. Okay. So, rest in peace. Glasses up.
Yes. Toby.
Toby.
Brought us some great horror.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Mm. You have anything to do with the remakes?
Of Texas Chainsaw?
Yeah. No.
No.
Right? Nothing.
Because
I know Matthew McConaughey was getting his crazy on in the sequel.
Oh, yeah. I don't think. Other than taking credit for the fact that he came up with the characters.
Right.
He avoided the sequels.
Okay.
I don't think he...
Oh, yeah. he's a one-shot, done kind of guy.
I mean, the original, you can't really duplicate that. That's a very frightening and atmospheric film.
Yeah,
I don't think you could... I mean, they've tried to...
To create that,
update it and stuff, but it just even with the remakes,
yeah,
you know, they just were gory. You know, they just, I mean, the original was not a gory movie. You watch it,
right.
It's really
it's not
really
a
more psychological.
Film. It's more psychological.
It's really more psychological.
It had a piece of dread in there that wasn't.
But unfortunately, you know, when we update everything, we have to update the blood factor in it.
Right.
Well, it's two things.
Three things.
It's CGI.
Yeah.
It's bloodier. And everybody's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where's Ernest Borgnine?
Borgnine
of this generation?
Oh, dude.
Where's the Shelley Winters?
Dude,
of, you know what I mean?
Ernest Borgnine plays the Hound in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But even he needs makeup to get there.
Uh-huh. Right, because
he probably wouldn't recognize him in the street.
No, you've seen him in Super Fuzz.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's right.
That's a scary overbite motherfucker.
Yeah, okay. Good point, good point.
He was also in Alexander. Every Scottish actor was in Alexander.
Shit. Well, I have to watch Alexander.
Oliver Stone's Alexander.
I have to watch that over.
But yes.
That's hilarious. And speaking of big scary dudes, Sonny Landham.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also in
Predator. Predator. Big Indian, Billy.
Billy. Yes.
Well, Billy from 48 Hours.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
The same name.
That's some lazy motherfucking writer. You have like a good look. Let me be honest. No homo. He's a good looking, big ass Native American, right? And you couldn't figure out a good name for him?
Well, he was Billy. Well, he was Billy Bear in 48 Hours.
And what was he? 48
Hours.
Billy Possum and
straight.
And what was funny about 48 Hours, like, subversively racist thing. So every time he emerges on screen after he's been away for a few minutes, next time, there was like this, he had this like little theme music.
Right.
It was like, and then you hear like, just under the music, you hear like a bear growl. Like, okay, we know he's Native American. Why the fuck?
Why
did the Foley artist have to add a fucking bear growl to this?
Come on, you know the 80s. The 80s. Just to answer that, remember Long Duck Dong from 16 Candles?
Oh, yeah.
And even the actor said, he said, when I read and we shot the film, he goes, there was no gong. He goes, I took my parents with me to see this movie.
Oh, damn.
Every time they mention my name. It's like,
oh, God.
And he's just like shaking his head.
That's John Hughes. Grand director. Racist.
Yeah.
And people wonder why Bruce Lee was mad all the time.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Wanted to beat the shit out of Burt Ward or whatever.
Exactly. Sonny Landham.
Sonny was a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. What else was he in? He was also a bodybuilder, right? He was part of that bodybuilding crew.
He was kind of into that, that scene a little bit. Not. I mean, I don't think he was in Pumping Iron or anything.
No. But I remember. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger mentioned that he got like a lot of the guys he pumped iron with.
Yeah. Right.
Not so much like on a recreational level pumping iron, because then Sonny Landham was one.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm trying to remember who else was another. There was another guy who just used to just work out with him.
Right.
And it wasn't a big thing.
You probably think about Franco Colombo or somebody like that.
Right. I think the other guy in Predator who was...
Jesse Ventura.
No. Not just the little guy with the... It was a little... Another guy. It was a guy with the glasses.
Okay.
And then the other dude who was the last one to get killed.
Oh, Shane Black?
Shane Black.
No. Shane Black was the first to get killed.
He's the first to get killed. The last one to get killed.
I can't remember his name.
Oh, the one that was like, I can make it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That guy. Oh, the Latin brother.
He's actually Native American, too.
Oh, is he?
He was in... Remember, back in the day, War of the Worlds.
I do remember that.
Okay, yes. He was in it.
He was like the military guy.
Yeah, he had the trench coat and the bootlet and the military boots and all that shit. He was like, oh, that motherfucker. I'm glad he got one.
Yeah, that was his thing for a minute.
Right, but Landon, what else was he in?
Not much. So here's something that I stumbled upon about 15 years ago. Sonny Landham actually tried to run for governor of South Dakota.
Really? Okay.
And his motivation was interesting.
Okay.
He had a ex-wife who had falsely accused him of molesting their kid.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And that went super, super south. And I think it kind of drove him over the edge.
Okay.
He had fallen out of shape.
Yeah.
He had kind of lost it a little bit. He lost the run.
Okay.
Which is interesting, because if he had won, that would have been the third governor to fucking come out of Predator. Think about that. That would have been three.
That would have been three, yeah.
He tried to get Schwarzenegger to endorse him, and Schwarzenegger apparently ducked him like Floyd.
Really? How bad was his position?
I don't even know if it was positions. I think it was just...
I think, honestly, it's like from what I remember of it, because it was a while ago, it felt like he was running solely so that, you know, guys don't have, you know, this can't happen to men anymore, what happened to him with him and his ex.
False accusations.
So that seemed to be his main focus, and I'm sure people in South Dakota, you know, they sympathize, but they also care about other shit.
Yeah.
So that... You know, that you know, unfortunately, it went away, and Mark is...
I just looked him up. I completely forgot he was in Lockup.
Mm. Oh, okay.
With Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
And he was in Poltergeist.
The first one?
Yes. He was the guy digging the pool. The one that made the comments to the daughter as she's walking out of the house.
Get out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that just came full damn circle.
And so now him and Toby Hooper have something. Wow. That's...
Well,
Poltergeist Night.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. I'd be scared if I wasn't atheist.
Nice.
Apparently, he was in Action Jackson too.
Oh God!
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah.
Everybody was in Action
Jackson. Well, everybody, that whole crew.
That whole,
I'm pretty sure Bill Duke
and Fire Walker.
I never saw Fire
Walker. Lou Gossett Jr. and Chuck Norris. Fire Walker. Holy shit!
Oddly enough, I managed to not see that.
You're the lucky one. You're one of the lucky ones.
You were ducking and dodging, I was watching Alan Quarterman.
Right. Yeah.
Going, white dudes everywhere.
I mean, I don't know. Chuck Norris just never did it for me. Outside of, the Octagon. I liked the Octagon.
I think we all liked the Octagon.
What's the Rampage? Rampage or who's the... It's not when he was fighting the guy who was genetically engineered to kill people. It was a psycho killer and did a Frankenstein experiment on him. Really?
That's a Chuck Norris movie?
Yeah! Oh, dude!
We're not getting that confused with Cyborg?
No,
He
did two of them. He had one called The Hero and the Terror.
Oh, yes, yeah. I remember.
But there was
the
one before that. Before that, it was like Texas Walker, Texas Ranger, and the... Frankenstein's monster type situation.
Oh wow!
It was crazy because it was like a martial arts horror, and this was it was actually good. It was called.
It's funny. That just goes to show you how much I was not really into Chuck Norris.
No.
Because I was like, all right. Hey. Yeah, after the Octagon, I was like, okay, I'm done.
I want you to fuck Chuck Norris.
But so all right, yes. Sonny Landham.
Sonny.
Sorry, you didn't get to be governor of South Dakota. Yes. And probably lived sort of a tortured life past that, but we loved your work, man. So God bless you.
Word.
Billy Bear.
Billy Bear.
Rawr.
Billy Bear dead, man.
Also, speaking of the 80s.
Yes. Hercules. I'm
sorry. No. So in the music world, we lost Melissa Bell from group Soul to Soul.
Whoa! Wait, not Carol. No,
Karen Wheeler.
Karen Wheeler, not Karen Wheeler. Who's Melissa Bell? Melissa Bell was one of the backup singers, or she was a dancer?
Oh, yeah, wow. She was the singer. She was. Yeah.
Wow. I did not.
Yeah.
Love soul.
Educate your mind. Free your soul. Her.
Yeah.
Passed away. So.
Holy shit.
Here's some glass of her.
Glass to her, yeah. Soul. Baby.
There it is.
I think somebody else from that group passed away in 2002. So, yeah, folks are just, you know.
It's that time of year.
Yeah. Well, it's always that time of year.
For the season of leaving.
Oh, shit. good old Kirk making a jingle out of anything. Yeah. All right. Real quick. I have to sort of announce a quick retraction. We, Beef Wine and Shenanigans, we are going to be at the Black Book Expo, but we made the mistake of saying it was going to be at the Schomburg. It's not going to be at the Schomburg. The Black Book Expo for New York is actually going to be at the National Black Theater, and that's at 2031 Fifth Avenue, which is between 125th and 126th. We will be in the house.
Yes,
so we're in the house.
If you have no other reason to go to the Black Book Expo, now you have a reason.
There it is.
And that reason would be to come say hello to fucking us. So,
There it is.
There you go.
Bam. In your face.
It's a good thing we are in a TV show, because Kirk would be costing us a lot of money in royalties right now.
That costs money.
Like, you know what?
Silent Rage.
Is that what the name of the movie
was? Chuck Norris movie. Silent Rage. It was actually good. I actually thought that was one of the better Chuck Norris movies I actually liked.
Interesting.
Because Lone Wolf of Quaid was like a good popcorn. Mm. You know,
like, having like sex Delta Force?
That was, you know what, that was, no, no.
That,
Invasion USA?
No.
Come on.
You know, I like Megaforce with Barry Boswick.
Megaforce?
I remember Megaforce.
Megaforce.
That was,
yeah,
flying
had,
bicycle.
Yeah, the motorcycle that used to fly had missiles on. A Delta Force is a little too anti-everything that's not white America.
Right.
So Megaforce had...
Then,
wait, you know, wait, Michael Beck was in Megaforce.
You know, that's what
Michael
I loved
Beck
about
the Warriors.
You know,
no shit.
That's why I love the 80s action films, because they had those heroic theme songs.
Yes.
Like it completely took you out of
the movie. You're the best.
Wow.
Shit.
Word.
Oh my god! Yeah, there it is. Science fiction horror film. Is that Michael Mann? Oh, Michael Miller.
Michael Miller.
Oh, you
about the Michael Mann directing Chuck Norris?
In an alternate universe that actually happened.
Chuck Norris.
An alternate universe that Mark just created.
Yes. Where King Kong actually does Superman.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
A visual that you folks listening missed earlier. Oh my god.
Yes.
All right.
Come
out
to us. Black Book Expo. Come check us out.
Yes.
Say hey. Bring us some pizza.
Buy some books.
Yes. That would actually be very helpful. Help keep this little operation afloat.
Yeah.
You know. So, fellas.
Yes.
We all saw Game of Thrones.
GOT!
The finale.
Yeah. That's some great.
So.
Great moments.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Let's start for a minute with how fucking stupid Peter Baelish is.
Peter Baelish!
For not immediately picking up.
Yeah.
On the fucking 13-year-old being psychic,
mm-hmm.
and taking that as the hint a few episodes ago,
yes.
to be like, you know what? I think I'm gonna pack my shit and go someplace. Hell,
shit.
And stop fucking with these people. Because I think my shit just...
It's got blown up.
Once the kid says, chaos is a ladder.
Right.
Which is some crazy shit. You said in a private conversation.
With Varys.
With Varys.
Yeah.
But nobody else was there.
Right.
Nobody else was there.
That should have been a sign.
That should have been the sign that it's time for you
mm-hmm.
to stop fucking around with these people
mm-hmm.
and bounce.
Right.
But no.
You know, I wonder if they're like, and they probably have more of these little moments, because... We entered Game of Thrones with a community, with a society
mm-hmm.
that actually does not believe magic exists.
Right.
Everything is actually an illusion, or it can be explained through something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so. This is like one of the few moments where that belief leads to your downfall. Gets turned on. He's probably thinking, this has to be a way he found out. Varys must have said something, or. So, you know, or
but when would Bran and Varys have had
exactly? But I'm saying this is the mind of people who refuse to believe that magic exists anymore.
Mm.
It's a child's thing. You know, you'll be if I was to snap my fingers and flame shot out my fingers, you would swear up and down he has to have something already prearranged, gasoline in the fingers, right?
Mm. Right.
Something else is going on because magic don't motherfucking exist. And and Littlefinger is the one through the entire show who is the most, if not conniving, deceitful, and pragmatic. He knows all the angles.
Well, he's the one that basically started all this shit.
Yeah, he knows
in
all
the first place.
So,
everybody would just be chilling in neutral quarters,
so you
right
know
now.
He can't. So you know he can't actually accept the fact that somebody else got an angle that he ain't on.
But I think I think with Littlefinger, it's a really simple solution of just complete overconfidence.
Yeah,
and thinking, and you don't, and even up until the point where Sansa calls him out.
Yes.
He turns to someone, he's like, hey, take me back to the Vale. Like, we're just going to swoop you out of here.
Right, right. No.
Like, that would, like, I would have thought, with common sense, should have told you that the moment she said that, one of the people would have been like, Lord Baelish, let's get you out of here. Right. No one said that.
No.
So, you now begging to go home, no, you know, I really think he really was so secure in himself that he really didn't think anything was going to come out of this. He really actually thought his plot between Sansa and Arya was working.
Was working, right.
And, you know, what's interesting is that the same thing Arya says to Sansa about let's play a little game.
Right.
Is the same thing he says to her. You know, let's, you know, I like to play this little game where X, Y, and Z. And I think that's when Sansa picked up on it, because it's like, well, the two of y'all are saying the same thing. Not only that, but Arya has already made it clear that she doesn't want to be queen.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be the Lady of the North. So all this shit you're talking right now is just, I'm going to just let you keep digging your hole. And I think that what's interesting is that it seems that most of the men get caught like that. Most of the vile men in this world get caught being way too overconfident in both themselves and the people around them. Because even
Joffrey,
not just Joffrey, but Ramsay was just certain that, you know, nothing's going to happen to Tywin. The same thing.
I'm going to get killed on a shit up.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to kill me on the shit up.
So it's always it always seems to me that the conniving men misconstrued exactly how far their power can go, and they get caught with that.
Yeah.
And it would be funny if it wasn't sad.
It wasn't sad. It was glorious as fuck.
No, I mean, we're all happy that.
I watched that shit three times. I just like the look on his face when he said,
"Oh yeah."
Motherfucker said what? And he laid his hand when he said, and he just said, you know, nobody was there when your father was taken. Nobody was there. So why are you gonna say some shit like that? That's guilt number one. But yeah,
I just love that whole scene, because when she calls him, she's like, "How do you plead, Lord Baelish?" And he's like, "Huh, what?" I was like, wait.
Say what now?
Right. Like R. Kelly, bitch, said what?
Lord Baelish trapped in a closet. Now I'm in the closet too.
She said no.
That was some shit, though.
Oh, yes. My goodness. But
there were some great scenes.
There
was a great scene.
That Tyrion and Cersei.
Ooh.
That was
pretty tight. That was
beautiful.
I do love that this season, this final season, people got around Westeros pretty quickly. I had never seen anything like
it.
They got the dragon, and they got a Q train now. Westeros.
Yeah. Wu-Tang's moving.
I heard Method Man's now like the head of Martell's.
Yeah. Well, somebody got to take over.
I was like,
we got to talk about Theon.
Oh.
Oh shit.
No, dude. Did Theon do a Hulk Hogan?
No, he did a Floyd Mayweather. He just let the guy tire him out.
Oh no. Floyd doesn't get hit, remember? Theon used his face as a target.
Until the dude tried to kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
And then that was like,
he got
like
strength.
So here's my thing. My thing was like, so apparently everybody but you, dude, knew that he didn't have balls.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
I'm saying that's a whole problem.
I don't have nuts to kick, brother.
He gets hit once, he starts getting the whole vibe. Niggas on the trip like this. Theo! Theo! The maniacs.
The
then like the hand goes up.
Yeah, yeah, right. No. Let me tell you, brother. Those Theon maniacs.
Tell you something. I know, right?
Those Theon maniacs.
They didn't.
Yeah, I just.
I was like, who knew you can get power by getting cracked in the nuts that ain't there no more? Who knew?
I certainly didn't. Yeah. And that's not something I actually wanted.
Of Mel Brooks' History of the World.
Oh! He's a unit. He's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, my. So we got Theon doing his thing.
Right.
We got Littlefinger.
Dead as a motherfucker.
Dead as a doornail.
By his own knife.
Yep.
By his own knife. That was beautiful.
I'm trying to cover all the side bits here.
Before we go into
the main stuff.
Right, but you can't forget the first time we ever seen Cersei shit her pants.
Oh yeah.
When that white was charging at her.
Okay, first of all,
man, Cersei's like,
I gotta say something. When he opened the box and this thing didn't come out,
right.
I'm like, please don't tell me this thing is dead.
Right, right.
Or
yeah.
It turned to fucking ash
because
it got
thing.
Too far away from the
right,
from the night.
Too far south. I thought I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, that's some bullshit. God damn you, George. Right?
I'm like, this dude just jumped out like Thriller.
The box, Michael Jackson jumped out. The horror.
Darkness falls across the land. Speaking of the snow got to the snow traveled south pretty quickly.
Oh, winter's coming.
Winter is here. Because
Jamie's
leaving and winter came, and I was like, at first I thought it was ash.
Right.
I thought they
burned
something, and
right.
I was like, that can't be snow already. But
it comes quick.
Which now I have to bring this up to you.
Uh-oh.
You, Kurt. Because remember, when the season started, I had said to you about the possibility of the king going south.
Yes, the Witch King going south.
The Witch King going south.
Uh-huh.
That might still be a possibility, depending on what kind of tactician he is. Because basically, they're going to take Winterfell. Ain't nobody there. I'm wondering if now, because he has this dragon...
Mm-hmm.
That he might take some of the dead south and let the other go into Winterfell.
He has four or five of the generals with him?
Yeah. So I'm thinking now maybe that might be a reality because she's under this false impression that the Iron Bank
is going to be
helping. And it's going to, because like Jamie said, shit, the dead show up here.
It don't matter.
It ain't not going to matter. What mercenaries you have or whatever. That's
in the words of Ripley, and all of this bullshit that you think is so important, you can just get the whole back and buy.
Game over, dude. Game over. We'll play.
Just saying.
This is why that's real talk though.
Wow. Yes, you see, the only way they thought they could get the dead into King's Landing is if they impregnated two people, literally me and Newt.
So, possibilities of what might happen.
Okay.
Because you brought up a point. If the Witch King, because he actually does, as far as I'm concerned, is a better tactician than Jon Snow.
I think everybody's a better tactician.
That don't take much.
He got himself a dragon. Mm-hmm. He can actually invade Winterfell, and you're right, and have his generals head further south.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered how severe is this winter going to be? Because you can talk about the seas freezing over as well, right?
Yeah,
to the point where ships can't sail no more because everything's fucking cold. They already went through Eastwatch. Right?
Mm.
And if winter's going to be that bad, it can create an entire thing where Cersei might not even get her mercenaries back, or Euron might even come back because the sea is cold.
I honestly don't think that the the Witch King will go to Winterfell. I think he's going to take that dragon straight
south
to King's Landing, because that's a better, because of that, because these idiots are going to sit there trying to knock this thing out of the sky. And Cersei's already signed a death warrant by trying to pull this stunt where she thinks, you know, she doesn't want to help, and she thinks, because here's the thing.
That she's saying she's going to help, and then she doesn't.
And then she doesn't.
Which is interesting, because that's the same shit her dad pulled.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, it is.
Yes. With
Robert Baratheon.
Robert Baratheon.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And they come in all Johnny all lately. All right, yeah, we're going to fight.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Did you miss me?
Yeah.
Because the other thing that, and I've been going back and forth with several people about the fact that they say that the dead don't swim.
Yeah.
Okay. If that is the case, which I don't believe,
okay.
But if that is the case, then explain to me who went down there to put them chains around that dragon to get him out of the water. Somebody had to go swim down there
and do that shit.
And I'm wondering if the Witch King is on Match.com. Because he's got that whole
nice broad shoulders and shit.
that silent but commanding presence.
Yeah, that Benjamin Bratcher going on.
He just don't say shit.
He got that chisel feature.
He got that chisel jaw. He don't say anything. He just come out.
The world's most interesting zombie.
The Witch King.
He can take down a fire dragon with an ice lance.
Oh shit!
He can warm your heart.
He can warm your
from heart. The inside. He is the most interesting witch king in the world.
He doesn't steal babies. Babies are given to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about Wayne? No. We need to give the Mac of the Year award
to
Brianna Tarr, because she got like three cats.
True.
Jamie?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Tormund, Giant's Bane, and now the Hound is sitting behind the two. Hound's like,
well, the Hound is that nigga that gets bullied at school. And he's like, oh, fuck it, all right, I'll go out with you. Shit.
But he's the bully and has to, like, well, shit, she's bullying me. That's some shit.
Love that whole conversation.
Yes.
He's like, she's tall, blonde hair, blue eye. Oh, Brianna Tarr. Oh, you know her. this dude was like ready to fight him.
Yeah. That would have been babies. It'll be monsters. Wait. We'll take over the world.
He done already planned his life out there.
He did.
He didn't even ask her if she wanted to be along for the ride.
The Brienne and the Hound, when they meet up on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Then they act like they both fighting for the same chick and find out she's still alive and shit.
Yeah. A little bit.
You seen Arya? Yeah, she's fine. She's still alive. Huh.
Is that right?
The two niggas at the bar. You seen Shaniqua? Just left over at so-and-so. She looking good? Yeah, she look all right.
All right.
You know that Arya about to have two dudes fighting for her.
And don't need nobody fighting any of them for her battles.
Exactly.
That's the funny part.
She's waiting for Gendry to come in and bring his ass back.
Oh, shit.
And Gendry's going to be scared of her. Arya, you've changed.
Exactly.
Harry, you've changed.
I love my man when he...
What? Who?
I always...
Brand?
It's a brand.
Yeah.
Because there's a brand, there's a brawn, and there's a...
Professor X of Westeros?
And there's a brand.
Right.
The Professor X of Westeros?
He's like, what happened to you? Oh, I became the Three-Eyed Raven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have no idea what the hell that means.
What does that mean?
Okay.
Speaking of him for a second. Tarly.
Tarly.
Oh, yes, Sam Tarly.
Not Bran. We understand, I think, what's going on with Bran.
Yeah.
Tarly.
Yeah.
Why is his hair all fly all of a sudden?
He was at the Masters, man. The Masters got a barber.
But he's got like the crazy ill Tom Selleck shit.
Yeah, right.
It's like, what the fuck is that?
Yo, you kidding
me? Like, on the job is he working?
Dude.
That he had to insist, yo, dude, my head's got to be.
You,
like, is he doing like a Sha-na-na review? Like, in what Old the Town? Fuck is going on?
In Old Town? That's where the barbers be at. That's where all the barbers from fucking the Summer Isles, all these black dudes in the Summer Isles, are like, hey, they learned that shit at Old Town.
It's like old Fuller Street.
It's air with perfect. Werewolf of Westeros.
He's just poor.
But I mean, am I the only one that noticed that?
Oh no!
When he started the new season, you know, his hair was like dope.
He got eligible after he cured motherfucking the grayscale.
Yeah, right.
After he became like a real doctor.
Yeah,
I say the girls like this. Oh, that fat nigga. Yeah, tall. Oh, that nigga hot.
He fixing hair and killing scales.
You know, killing scales.
He'll even be doing something right now.
He got himself a good job.
Yeah,
the benefits.
He got the benefits.
Tarly went away, lost 40 pounds, got himself a good job and some benefits.
Tarly P.I. Oh, man. Samwell Tarly.
Yeah. Dude.
Samwell Tarly.
So, of course, now we have to talk about...
He's the hot button now. He's the hotness now. Samwell Tarly makes shit happen. He knows what's going down. So John? Oh no. John's the next heir.
Yeah.
Bran didn't even know that shit.
Bran was he was like, are you sure? Motherfucker, go look!
Go look!
You can't go look, He was like, are you sure? You can look in the past.
That's
go
real.
Back and look and see if I'm lying or not.
That's Bran, for real.
Bran is like, well damn, he's lying.
Yo, the Professor X of Westeros.
We're gonna have to tell him.
Sorry. This is a matter of fact shit.
I'm sorry. Sam Tarly's the king of Westeros.
Well, he is now.
He sunned him. He's like, you ain't no nigga. Check that shit out for yourself.
Joe Mystical Ass.
Yeah, right. Sam Tarly, honey.
Yeah, I thought you were the three-eyed raven. You two-eyed raven to me. You know?
Sam Tarly, the Huggy Bear Westeros. He knows what's going on.
What's going on in the streets?
The streets. You up there in your castle and wheelchair. You don't know what's really going on in your
what's
streets.
What's that line from the old Stark and Hutch episode? When do the new Cadillacs come in?
Yes. Hello, Bran.
You better hold on this and go look in the past.
Shit.
You want to know your future? Look in the past. You gotta know where you came from in order to know where you going.
The honorary black Israelite, Samwell Tarly.
Oh,
Westeros.
You're
falling down.
Castle, we didn't land on Castle Rock. Castle Rock landed on us.
And then this man over here, he got the dragon stone. Tell him, dragon stone. How many dragons?
Yeah, don't you know?
Yes, brother.
Roll your wheelchair around. Roll your ass to the past.
Yes, brother minister.
So now, right, but of course, now we gotta talk about John and
Daenerys, the worst mother ever.
Bam, 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 bam.
Worst mother ever. Yo, the dude was, because of Jon Snow, you lost the serum. I'm sorry. That nigga should have just jumped on the dragon when he had a
chance. Who the hell knew that man had an ice lance?
Man.
Who knew that was coming?
Yeah.
In perfect aim.
I told you who knew had ice. I tell you who knew had an ice lance.
You know what that
Jon Snow did? Because remember, he fought one of them with it.
But wait a minute. He straight did an old...
Man.
All we needed now is Ned Stark back in that scene, because that looked like the scene out of Lord of the Rings when they shot what's his name with those arrows.
I'll tell you what it's like. It's like this. After what's her name?
The motherfuckers throwing the thing like the Winter Martell. Olympics.
After the paramour from Martell's.
Uh-huh.
After she killed Cersei's daughter, and Cersei invited her back to the house to have sex. That's what that shit's like. You killed my. No, you can't come in this room,
dude.
Get on the dragon. But there's too many of them. Get on the dragon. What are you supposed to do?
But the dude, that he came out like.
And then Benjamin Stark gonna get killed too. Like, you dumbass.
Give me that,
dude.
And we're air speed and wind resistance.
And this is my problem with John. You knew they had them things because he fought one already and killed it.
But
that
throw, that I mean, yeah,
he's magic, nigga. He's the witch king of Agmar.
He didn't think he was gonna do the javelin toss and get himself on the fucking
Westeros
Wheaties box.
I'm sorry. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. You ain't seen Jesse Owens? Niggas with some eyes knew that shit was coming. Dudes was like, oh, he gonna throw that shit at the dragon. You sure? This is the fucking Ice King, nigga. You think he can't throw that shit? Remember when Jesse threw that shit? You see it. He don't watch. Boom. Done. Even if you, like, I give you this. I'll say this. Even if you didn't know homeboy had them javelin skills, get on the fucking dragon. What are you gonna do with... They're all. How about this?
Why don't you burn him?
That
should have been like
that should have been her priority. Like,
her thing was
best thing. She didn't know anything about. She just realized. Oh, this is actually real. This is not fake. This is real.
And then have to look for him. And I gotta rescue my boo.
Right. And then have to look for him.
And I gotta rescue my boo.
Because the mission.
One and two. No, you're right.
Because there's two. There's only one mission, and that was to grab them. Because you sent six dudes up to take on, to grab a zombie, right? You took six dudes to grab one zombie from an army of zombies. That's your mission. If the mission was to kill the Witch King because you know he can die by fire, that was fine. Nobody knew that shit. Jon Snow didn't even tell that shit except he told about the dragon glass.
Let's be good to Jon Snow. Let's look at this.
Rhaegar Targaryen.
The dragon landed. What Jon should have told her, Drogon landed, he should have told her. Because he had enough time to turn to her and be like, kill him. Because he already seen him standing over. It wasn't like he was there all night. And not like he just walked up and he was like...
Agreed.
So you should have been like, hey, listen, either we get the hell out of here or you start taking out some more people over here.
But ultimately, that sort of thing doesn't happen because then you don't have another season.
Right.
That.
And then you don't really have time to do that shit because, you know, them niggas are actually running fast. Them zombies are fast runners.
Yeah, they're some fast-ass zombies.
They're like Day of the Dead remake.
I don't even know what that was. That was... What I love...
They're like all that trained by Mary.
But you know what? Here's the one thing I do love about all of these things.
Yes.
No matter how horrid a creature is, whether it's Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park,
right,
mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You go to catch one motherfucker and he always seemed to know to scream for help. And nobody's saying, like, shut him the fuck up.
Right.
Before more of them show up.
My boy, my voice is around. He's so
he's like, because he's like getting surrounded. Help! Help! Y'all, help!
That's like an army of Tyrones and base heads. Just, you're fighting an army of base heads. And when you catch one, you gotta shut them up quick.
Yeah, stop playing!
That's all you're gonna hear.
Come on, Scotty, let go of me, man. Stop playing, Scotty. Although, I do have to say this.
What?
Getting to find the zombies took a minute.
Yes, it did.
Your boy.
Which one?
Yeah.
What all them dudes is on my team?
The one with the hammer. Who ran all the way back to the wall.
Gendry.
And I ran so far away. And got there within 2.5 minutes. To the wall. You the fastest runner.
Yeah, that's a cardiovascular, dude. That's a cardio shit.
You're not an elf. When the hell did you start running?
He's a blacksmith.
You learn how to breathe properly when you hammer it.
I guess so.
I know, right?
But anyway.
Yes.
So.
But yes.
Now we've got another zombie dragon.
Yes. Ice dragon.
An ice dragon.
The Syrian, the ice dragon. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Bran may be able to do something wrong.
As a Mog?
As a warg.
A warg, right.
Yeah, he seems a warg, but I think because of the Witch King's power is too great, he can't do anything.
You never know.
Well, remember, every time he brings the ravens over when he wars to the ravens, and they're checking, they're spying on him,
mm-hmm.
and the Witch King sees him, the ravens just disperse.
Right.
Like he loses contact with him, so has something to do with that motherfucker. But yeah, but yeah, that was, I'm happy with that season finale.
Yeah.
Gotta wait until next summer.
Is Tormund okay, do we think? He was on the wall.
Yeah, him and Beric
very close to
Darian. What I watched something, somebody I saw brought up an interesting point. Mm-hmm. That Tormund is such an interesting and beloved character that they wouldn't just kill him off screen. He'd have to have an on screen death. They couldn't, mm-hmm. they wouldn't just, you know what I mean? They'd have to get something that pulls that. Because he's an audience favorite now.
Oh, yeah.
You don't just let an audience favorite die.
Well, that's true, audience favorite, but then
you gotta make him feel something.
Explain his escape.
Oh, because he probably got to the other side of, because they didn't bring the whole wall down. Only brought that one section of the wall. So if you got to the half of the wall, the section of the wall that didn't get shot down,
mm-hmm.
he's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Bear just hide and shit for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then climb down after the fucking
shit.
Army.
Fair enough.
Jamie somehow didn't drown with all that fucking armor all on him.
Yeah.
From
a Bronn.
And that's going to be an interesting dynamic now that Jamie is left.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting dynamic.
Well, I want to see, because the big thing that I dug about the finale was certain characters met that you wanted to, that had conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrion and Cersei.
Yeah.
The Mountain and the Hound.
Yes.
Cersei and Jaime finally have that out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Jaime and Bran.
That may be coming soon.
That would be an interesting.
Yeah.
You know
that
mean?
Would be an interesting chat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would,
yeah.
No shit.
Like, how's your legs? Fuck you.
By the way, your sister's going to kill you, nigga.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You remember what's his name did that to Tyrion? No, Tyrion did that to what's his name? No, Theon.
Oh.
He came to me, he was like, the last time I saw you, how's that working out for you right now?
How's the sausage?
How's your meat and two veg?
Yes.
As they say across the pond. So, a little less than 13 minutes left.
Oh, shit.
We had some outrage that I noticed on the internet over a Netflix remake of a movie Death Note. It was originally a Japanese release. It was an Asian, manga. It was an anime situation that basically revolved around a high school kid that finds a notebook that a demon basically fashioned.
Yes.
And that notebook basically gives the owner the power to write that person's name in the book, how they die, and it actually happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the original versions, the teenager kind of goes off on a crusade,
mm-hmm.
Killing mostly criminals and all of that. The Netflix version, first of all, it's set in America, so it's a Caucasian playing the lead, not an Asian.
No, they're not Asian in America.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very similar story. They do change some stuff around. They bring in the love interest a little sooner. There's reworking, but it's basically, overall, it's the same. Yeah, it's basically...
It's John Hughes.
It's very John Hughes.
It's John Hughes' Death Note.
It's John Hughes if John Hughes was making a horror movie.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Forget
basically. but there was some outrage. Like serious outrage from people who were fans of the original thing. And that's always a funny thing, whereas we're kind of seeing, especially now that I think Marvel Studios and everybody else has pretty much exhausted every fucking superhero known to man. You know, I feel like we're starting to dig up all this stuff. And if you're a fan of the original source material,
yeah,
and you go into these movie watching experiences with these expectations, like, you're going to end up disappointed.
Yes. Right.
You're going to end up disappointed. You're going to end up feeling some kind of way. But then if you don't have the backstory, then, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't have the same effect.
Right.
So some people were like, well, what's the big deal? And then other people, like, there's one guy, and I don't want to mess this quote up, but he basically said that the Death Note with a Caucasian lead, you know, misses the mark because we're already used to seeing Caucasians build up godlike complexes and go on killing sprees.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just like, ooh, that's okay.
That's heavy inflammatory shit.
Exactly.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
Like, so there's a lot of outrage, which is why, you know, outside of the show, we discussed it and we all watched it. And I mean, I didn't hate it. It didn't, you know, bowl me over or whatever. I see the point of it not being, you know, true to the source material or whatever. But because I watched a few, like most of the anime episodes, actually, and but at the same time, I'm just like, I'm almost want to take the reaction of, well, you know, it wasn't going to be, it just like, right, you know, just like King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
And then for years there was that rumor that
Godzilla won.
That there was a version for the Japanese. They got, you know, it's like, depending on the audience, they're going to manipulate things.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, while I am by no means a fan of whitewashing, and, you know, and totally feel like, you know, you could have cast an Asian kid for this.
Oh, absolutely.
And actually, and side note, I actually enjoyed the performance of the brother from Get Out.
Yes.
Right.
Who ends up playing in Atlanta, and who ends up playing the detective that tracks down the teenager and kind of goes, like, toe-to-toe with this sort of chess match thing. You know, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. But I can see the point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the problem with whitewashing in general. Okay, it's always going to be a problem, because at the end of the day, you have to think, who's in charge? Who bought the rights?
Right.
You know,
and who are they catering to?
Are they catering to?
Right, and that's so, yeah.
And because recently, that fella stepped down from the reboot of Hellboy,
Francis,
because of that whole because the
character he's playing is actually Asian comic book.
Yes,
and he stepped down because he was like,
I don't want to be,
and that, because I think that when people start screaming out and accusing of whitewashing, they're doing it like they're what they do with racism.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all screaming out without actually. It just adds like a red herring. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really, you know what I mean? White, that's what they were going to do with the casting of Hellboy. Mm-hmm. That was whitewashing.
Yes.
Right? The Great Wall with Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
That was not whitewashing.
No.
Because it's first off, it's fictional.
Mm-hmm.
It's about dragons between the Chinese, the Great Wall of China, which wasn't what the Great Wall of China was before in the first place, we know that.
Right.
So it's fantasy fiction, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's not from an original text of something else about that same thing.
Right.
So it's not whitewashing. It's another thing. It's not even appropriation. I like to call it, my dad used to call it Starboy Complex.
Right.
And as my dad from Trinidad, the thing is with Starboys are always white.
Mm-hmm.
They're always in places that you never thought the Muppets was supposed to be. And they always survive at the end.
Yeah.
Hashtag Last Samurai.
Last Samurai, right. They're always supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're always the main character, no matter where they are in any culture place, right?
Right.
That's Starboy, I guess, for lack of a better. Henceforth, that's Last Samurai, right?
Yeah.
That's Good Wall, but it's not whitewashing. The problem with this notebook, the Death Note, they changed so many elements from the anime and the 2006 story that it was almost its own movie.
Yes.
Except they kept the names of the protagonists and antagonists. Which, and I was talking to Steve earlier about, I thought that was so fucking lazy. And it was a provocateur.
Right.
Right? You're provoking this kind of thing because you really could have just changed the names and created a Death Note world.
Yeah.
Where this, where the new, the Shigami, which is the old Shigami, always, which is the connecting link, is that, is Ryuk, is the connecting link with all Death Note storylines, right?
Right.
You always see him, and he's always fucking dropping his book, he always says. And he's always meeting, he's always entrapping a new person for the Death Note. And because he's not relegated to just Japan, he can go fucking anywhere.
Yep.
Same thing with the whole L idea. The L super detective is part of an entire group of super detectives.
A collective.
Yeah. A collective, right? So instead of naming him L, they could have gave him another code name like B or X. And when they had a scene, there was a scene where the guy went to find out what his real name was, and it was in like an abandoned school, where obviously he had a notebook and there were many different names and files there. So L and him, X, are part of a larger world, a larger collective of people.
Yes.
You could literally have created a film anthology where you have a one writer says, this is the Death Note for American, you know, then have another Death Note that takes place in Calcutta, India.
Yeah.
You could have another Death Note that takes place in Moscow, Kiev. You could have just went the world with it. But instead, you got fucking lazy. And you just like, we'll just keep the same name. Really?
But the same, keep the same names and then mix and match plot points.
Plot points and, so, yeah, and narratives.
Yeah.
Well, you have to,
and that really bothers.
But you have to understand the animal that you're dealing with, because the thought process is, one, the fans of this are not going to come to a Death Note film unless their character is already in place. Hold on.
Right.
And then, if we create a Death, like, if we create this Death Note world, with people like myself who never even heard of it until the Netflix things came on, may not even be interested.
And the thing is, and I thought about that, and like I said, there's a way that you're connecting, is that is Royal, that's Shingana. That, because he's actually on a lot of, I've seen him, they did a thing where they had him doing Apple Pen, that whole dance thing, which is creepy as fuck. But a lot of people saw it. It got a lot of hits. And because we're in the internet age where nothing is kept really as a secret anymore. And I think that's my problem, is that they act like it's not. Like nobody's going to know this. And because I remember watching it, I was thinking of The Seduction of Mimi. Seduction, Which Way Is Up with Richard Pryor is a remake of Seduction of Mimi, who's an Italian film. Italian comedy. Because it wasn't during the internet, it was the 70s. Nobody knew that shit. But they went to see it because of Richard Pryor.
Right.
You only get to know about that later on, and it's only if you're a film head, you'll find out about it. Nobody else will know about it. The same, but that's not the same thing with this Death Note. Death Note, it's part of the internet age. If you drop Death Note, it's like, oh, it's Death Note, and you say, the New Adventures of Death Note. Or, you know what I mean? Or another victim, or, you know, Death Note, a subtitle to it. You already have a Death Note following. You literally already have a Death Note following. And if I say, yo, you gotta check this Death Note shit, that shit is off the hook. That's how that shit goes. Because you'll know about it. You know what I mean? We shouldn't have known about the dude dropping out because of whitewashing. But we do because of the internet.
Right. All right, we got a minute. So let's hit social media. Kirk?
Come check me out. I'm on Twitter. Kirk Johnson at Arntoura, Arntoura, on Twitter. And I got a link to Two Lands Far Afield, which is my website. And also, I'm on Facebook. Come check me on Facebook. And State of Black Science Fiction NYC. You can check me on there, all right?
All right, you can check me out at whoismarklabbott.com. That's the website. For Twitter and for Facebook, Who is Mark Abbott? You can find all of my information and my upcoming events on that.
And, of course, I am at laughingblackvampire.com and Instagram and Twitter at SVBThinks. That's going to do it for us. We are actually recording an episode at Junior's coming up soon. So stay tuned for that, and night-night.
Later.
Later.